You're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
May you always fly with the angels. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Listen up. We're on the air. Jesus is on the air. We're flying with angels.
Attaboy, Paul.
I like United Airlines. I can have a nice, comfortable seat.
I'll take the angels.
I'm going to fall off their wings. I'm so scared of that.
And that was Dr. John Palmer.
Oh.
And I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo. And we're here to tell you, we love Jesus.
Oh, my gosh. This man is so energetic. What do you have for breakfast?
Nothing. I don't have a thing.
Oh, my gosh. And you know, we have a
I have Jesus. I spend an hour with Jesus. That's my breakfast.
Oh, boy. You're such a fanatic. My gosh.
We got some show lined up today,
yeah,
Doc.
Yeah, we do. We have Judith McNutt from Christian Healing Ministries down in Florida. And worldwide with Fishnet and so many other things that she and her husband Francis do. And we're so happy that you're here, Judith. Can you hear us?
Oh, I can hear you both.
Welcome, Judith. You're having lots of fun.
Many of our guests wish that they couldn't hear us, and I don't know why that's so.
I don't know if you noticed, but we are the most listened to station on WGBB.
Radio show.
This
is a radio show.
We have about 25 listeners now.
Is that many?
We're
up to 25 listeners.
25 listeners.
But we are the most listened to, so that's what Trevor tells us.
On the radio station, and Trevor
that's
never
wonderful.
Lies.
And so welcome.
Thank you.
Okay.
Judith, our listeners may not know what Christian Healing Ministries are all about. Maybe you can just fill them in quickly, and then we'll get into other stuff. We're so happy you're here.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy to be on your program.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Christian Healing Ministries started almost 34 years ago in Clearwater, Florida, and 25 plus years ago, we moved to Jacksonville, and we have a healing center.
It's lovely, too.
It's a lovely place, and we do two things at our healing center. Primarily, we have training for people who want to come and learn how to pray for the sick. And we have schools that actually teach that on DVDs, but people come to CHM for that. And then people come for healing prayer. We host like Journey to Healing and Days of Intensive Prayer and prayer. People can make an appointment. It's all free, the appointments. And that's what we do. We do training for others, clergy, doctors, therapists, lay people, to learn how to pray for the sick and hurting people of the world, and then we minister to the hurting people.
You're into such an important ministry.
Oh, absolutely.
So yes.
I work for the Diocese of Rockville Center, and I run their renewal program. And I'd say easily, Tony, 80% of the phone calls want to know, where is the next healing service?
Yeah, absolutely.
So many are hurting.
Yeah.
It's increasing. Yeah, you know, absolutely. I've been doing this for maybe 40 years, and I think it's the alienation, just loneliness and financial problems and marital problems and drugs and all the other things we talk about.
Judith,
there's just a lot of hurting people.
I have a question as far as learning how to pray for healing. Is that a science of some sort? I mean, is there something special that people need to do? Like when someone asks us, someone to pray for them. Is there something special that they have to do, or how can they pray for someone when they're asked to?
Well, we've learned over the years. My husband and I figured it out one day. We've been in the healing ministry 100 years together.
Oh, like Palmer and I.
So we've learned quite a bit. But anyone can pray for healing. I mean, if you have a friend that's hurting or a family member, Jesus is always listening. So anyone can pray. But over those 100 years, we have learned a lot of specific ways that people can be set free from hurts, forgiveness, from generational things, from wounds of their childhood. And you know, the average person doesn't understand all that. And of course, we combine, I am a psychotherapist, we combine on the area of inner healing, you know, what we've learned in that field to really help people be set free.
Uh-huh.
So we love to say that everyone can pray for healing, and many are healed through just simple prayers. But there's some other people that just aren't, they just don't get the healing they're looking for unless they kind of go through more an intense time of prayer with someone who's trained.
I see.
And you know that praying for healing, I once heard in my own prayer life, prayer is the lubricant of the heart.
Oh, I like that.
And what it does, it loosens the frozen hearts of people in pain. And then Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit come in and heal.
That's beautiful. That's very, very true.
And that John Palmer, if I admit myself, that is very beautiful. You made that up all by yourself?
No, I heard it in prayer.
I didn't think you did.
Okay. You know me. I pray and I listen. You know.
Okay.
And Judith, you tell us about your days of healing prayer. I know you have them on a regular basis. And also the school of healing that you're doing, I think, in December of this year.
Yes, we actually have a level one coming up in December. And we have four levels. There's about 13 talks per level. And
wow.
People come and they stay here in Jacksonville, you know, in a hotel. We don't have a residential. And we have two types of schools. We have what we call Express. That's 3.5 days long. And then the longer version of it is 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
We just finished a level four that was 5 days long. And it's just incredible when people go through all four levels. By the time they get to the end of it, they've experienced so much healing themselves.
What are the four levels?
And now they pray for people.
Can you tell us what's in the four levels?
Well, it progresses, of course, in terms of, you know, depth of wisdom or knowledge. The first level that we'll be doing in December has, like, history of healing, scriptural foundation. It's what is inner healing, what is physical healing, what is deliverance.
Wonderful.
How to pray for some of those things. Forgiveness is a big one because very few people understand forgiveness and feel bad about themselves that they can't forgive or can't be forgiven. So we cover that. We've just wonderful, wonderful topics in each school. And then as it progresses, we get more involved in how to actually pray for these things, and like conception to birth prayer for people who had pre-birth trauma. And
wow. Yeah,
generational healing is one of the areas where we see tremendous freedom
mm-hmm.
coming to people. And that's things that have been in our family tree,
mm-hmm.
either physical or emotional or spiritual.
Judith,
and just wonderful subjects. We deal with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Wow.
All kinds of things.
I have a question, Judith. Can you explain for the audience, or rather, I should be more clarified. Explain,
this is his question.
Explain for me and my knowledge, what's the difference between healing, inner healing, and generational healing?
Well, that's a good question. You know, healing.
Thank you.
Healing, of course, is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that's mentioned. Paul talks about healing being one of the charisms or gifts of the Holy Spirit that every single Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit has. So it's actually plural. When you look at the Bible, it's plural. It's called gifts of healing. So there's many different types of healing all under that umbrella of that gift. So there's physical healing, which is what most of us think about when we think of healing. And that's very important if you're sick. And then inner healing is more dealing with the trauma of the past, broken emotions, fears, anxieties, unforgiveness would be in the spiritual healing. Like my husband, when he wrote the book Healing, which is still just so popular.
It's a classic.
Mm. It's just a classic. It's still my favorite. He talked about the four kinds of healing. And of course, then we have generational healing, and that's the things that come down from our parents and grandparents all the way back. And the Lord, through usually the Eucharist or communion. You know, we bring that those things that are in the family tree, like mental illness or depression or physical illness. And then the other one, of course, is the whole realm of evil, being set free from the demonic realm, oppression, depression, things like that. So we talk about all the different kinds of healing, and we find they all work together, usually, to really bring someone to complete freedom.
And what makes your ministry different from a lot of other ministries is that you bring Jesus right into the middle of it, and the Spirit right into the middle of it.
Oh, yes, and yes, we love Jesus. We love the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We just think the Holy Spirit has been not really neglected. That's too strong a word, but certainly not understood.
Right.
And you know, I maintain, we hear so much about DNA, physical DNA and mental DNA, but I also believe there's a spiritual DNA that has to be opened and healed to set people free. I don't know if you agree with something like that.
I completely agree with it. I believe the Bible talks about, you know, we have a legacy of faith and wellness, or we have a legacy, the Bible talks about it in terms of curses that come down through the generations. And I just think we have such rich gifts or legacy, but we also have these things that can just weigh us down in the generations.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when people come for generational healing, and I've given workshops on it myself, I say to them, I know you're here because you feel terrible. And I know you're here because you think there are terrible skeletons in your closet, but don't overlook the fact that you also have some wonderful angels carrying you along as part of your spiritual inheritance from your past family members who committed themselves to God.
Yes.
And you wouldn't be here were it not for them.
That's right. They carried that legacy of faith and passed it on to us.
So
So
the healing process is basically a Jesus and Holy Spirit based process. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
God the Father.
God the Father. And
yes.
And also as another bar of healing are the saints and the angels.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things we talk about, and I know you both have encountered this, I'm sure, is healing our image of God.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah.
That's one of the primary talks we have in our school that people really respond to. Because I started teaching on that years ago because people have such a distorted image of who God really is and that he is their Abba or Daddy and loves us.
And, absolutely.
And it comes, that image comes from their own parenting.
It really does.
And, you know, if somehow or other your father or your mother have been abusive or unable to love you as you need to be loved, that becomes God for you.
It does.
And then people have to learn that that's your image of God and that's not God.
Now, I have another question, if it's okay.
No, it's not okay. Judith, he's gonna ask you, when did you first get... No. this is a long-standing comment on our show.
Oh, you know what?
Okay.
Judith, I've been with Palmer too long. It's 3 years now. He knows me like a book.
I could tell.
But, yeah, one of the questions is, how did you get involved with all this? I mean, how did the Holy Spirit lead you in this direction of healing, which is such a wonderful
ministry.
Direction?
Well, in my own life, I grew up in a home that was my mother believed in healing, and she prayed for the sick in our home. And she would take me along with her to pray for people. She just believed the Bible. She believed what Jesus said, you know, that you will do greater things than he did. And she just stepped right out and started doing that.
Wow.
So I had this wonderful model in my childhood. Then I went and, you know, did my degrees in psychology.
That'll ruin you. I have one.
It is just really young.
Judith. Oh, you said the wrong word with Palmer.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Judith. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I know. It did ruin me in a way. I could, you know. But anyway, I went working in hospitals in the Boston area. I realized that psychology was a great tool, mostly diagnostic, but it wasn't really a healing tool. It didn't really bring people to wholeness and forgiveness and freedom. It helped them understand their problems, more or less. So anyway, when I started, I asked the Lord, I said, what do you want me to do? And he said, pray for your patients. Mm-hmm. He said, I can heal them. I can restore them. I love them. Yeah. So back, gosh, in 1972, I started praying with my patients. And I saw just great healing take place.
I've been doing that for 20 years in my own practice.
Good for you.
And it's just unbelievable things that can happen. I remember having a woman in front of me who was very upset and agitated, but putting on a real good face for me, And and I'm hearing inside of me, she's afraid she's going to commit suicide.
That's common.
So then I said to her, I'm hearing inside of me that you're afraid that you're going to commit suicide. And she started crying. How did you know? That's what God does. He jumps in.
Absolutely. You know the story that I think we saved someone
from the radio show committing suicide? Yeah.
We were praying one time over our petitions, and Dr. Palmer happened to say, there's someone out there that's contemplating suicide. We're telling you, don't do it.
Mm.
That night, I went to Mass. I opened the church and, I set it up for the Mass. And there was no one there in the church but me. And someone walked in the door, walked in, and then was walking out. And he turned around and he said to me, and today on your show, you mentioned about someone thinking of committing suicide. Well, that person was me.
Wow.
He came that night.
And he says, I just want you to know that was me that you talked that out of committing suicide.
Okay. Isn't that wonderful?
You never know how God and Jesus works and uses us.
Now, Tony, I know some things about Judith that I'm going to share. And poor Judith is going to have to answer these questions.
Watch out, Judith.
I know, I'm prepared.
Tony, she was in Israel one time, I believe, and doing a ministry there and needed Bibles. And Tony is a big Bible giver away.
That's one of my ministries. I give Bibles away.
Would you tell our audience what happened? Because it's important for them to see how God does intervene.
Yeah, that was real, real wonderful. My friend, Lynn, that moved to Israel with me, we were running this. It was called Jerusalem House, a house of prayer. And we had all these young people coming, Jews and Arabs, Muslim, and we needed Bibles. We didn't have any Bibles. We had like my Bible and Lynn's Bible, but we wanted one to send with these young people. And they all spoke English. They were English-speaking young people. And so we started interceding and just asking God, because we didn't have any money. We just moved there in faith and lived very simply. And so anyway, we started praying and interceding that God would send us Bibles. And I remember we were at Jerusalem House one day, and there was a knock on the door. It was a big old Arab house, two-story, owned by the Baptists, and they gave it to us to run as a house of prayer. So anyway, I went to the door, and there was this young man there, and he was American. He was a sailor, in the Navy. And he said that he was like in the Mediterranean, and his little prayer group, during one of their prayer times, the Lord spoke to them and told them to send Bibles to Judith and Lynn in Jerusalem, at Jerusalem House. That's all the information they got. And they put together a whole bag full, this giant, bag that he had over his back. He looked like Santa Claus. And he said, I arrived in Israel and I started asking people, do you know Judith and Lynn? And I thought that's like arriving in New York City asking, do you know Judith and Lynn? But fortunately, we were fairly well known around the area, and people kept directing him till he got to Jerusalem House. And it was all the New Testament, and at that time it was called Good News for Modern Man. And it was the New Testament in everyday language, is what it said. And I just passed them out to all these young people, and they were able to take the Bible into their homes. And so many of them came to know the Lord Jesus through the Bible study and through reading. And I just thought that was so wonderful.
It's amazing.
It is.
Isn't that a great story?
It just demonstrates that God is very active and will help those who surrender what they need to do to further his will in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives them what they need.
Yeah, and you know what? Anything that you need is right there in the Bible. The Bible,
yes.
In my perspective, is the outline for life. It's how to live your life.
That's why I brought the story up. Tony loves the Bible.
I honestly
yes,
do.
I do too.
And I love to give them out, and I do. I give them out first Sunday of every month in the parish, and I get calls and I get requests from not all over the world, but from Africa and stuff like that
sure.
for Bibles, and I'm more than happy to send them. So if you ever need
good
Bibles,
for you.
Give me a call.
Yes.
And there's
you.
Another deep, dark secret that we have to bring out into the open, because it's going to feed into what is usually our saint of the day. It has to do with angels. Have you had experiences with angels that people who are in listening, we say, wow, maybe I've had something like that. Would you share that in some way with our audience?
Well, I've had lots of experiences with angels for many, many years. And
I love angels.
I've started really interviewing people years ago about their stories, because I think they felt like they could talk to me about them. People are often hesitant to share stories, because they're unusual. They're supernatural.
Yes.
And they're afraid to share them. And if I share angel stories when I'm speaking, that gives people more permission, I think, to come and talk to me.
Right,
absolutely.
So I've been collecting stories for years, and I did put them in a book last year.
Wow, what's the name of the book?
It's called Angels Are For Real.
Mm.
And that's by Chosen Books. It came out February last year. And it's done very well, and I talk about the different kinds of angels, and there's lots of angel stories in it, and the scriptural foundation for angels. It's a very encouraging book. I felt like the Holy Spirit, when he asked me to write it, I felt like he said he wanted to encourage Christians that they're not alone,
right.
That they have this wonderful angel with them.
Judy, you know what? A question I get very often, I mean, I get it really often, is if we all have guardian angels,
mm-hmm.
how can I get the name of my guardian angel?
Now,
I got the name of my guardian angel.
I got the name of mine.
But I think you just have to ask for the name of the guardian. They say to me, I do, but I don't get anything. Do you have any advice on that? I could guarantee you there are listeners out there that would love to know the name of their guardian angel. How can they do it?
You know, I think it's just like anything else with God. When he wants us to know, he'll tell us.
That's right.
Wow. Okay.
When you're praying for direction. Like I pray with a lot of people who want to know God's will for their life. And they don't know what it is, and it's very frustrating. Or where to live, or, direction. And I just say, don't be stressed about that. When God wants you to know, he'll tell you.
Oh, I think that's a great answer.
I have a story about it. My guardian angel, I have to share. And his name is Theocrates.
Okay.
How's that for a real formal
great
name?
Great name.
But yeah, it really is.
Great name.
And,
you would get a name like
and
that.
And I found that in my readings about angels that they are created just for us.
Yes.
And they're all created at the same time, and they wait for us to be born, and they're with us. Well, poor Theocrates has been with me for many, many years. And one of the funny stories is, in prayer, I have a word gift, and in prayer I write what I hear. And what I wrote was, poor Theocrates is sitting over there with his wings over his head, mumbling, "This guy is never going to learn." And you want to know what? He's right. I still.
I know. How long will it take, Lord?
And I always ask that, and I hear, Have you ever considered forever?
You know? I know.
What are the primary duties of our guardian angels? I mean, other than to guide us or lead us or advise us, why did God, I don't know if you would know, why did God create guardian angels for each and every one of us?
Well, because he loves us. Is the thing that pops. It's like when he gives you a wonderful husband or wife or a wonderful friend. It's a companion and, you know, someone to be with us through life that cares deeply. And it says in Hebrews that they were created to serve us, the ones that, you know, follow God, that they were actually created to serve us, to help us. But I believe one of the things Thomas Aquinas said about angels is that they come to enlighten us, that just being in their presence enlightens us about God and about life, and it kind of fills us with the kingdom and the love of God and the presence of God. And I think that's one of their primary roles. I do believe they bring wisdom and they bring protection
like
companionship.
Raphael.
But they really enlighten their minds, is what Thomas Aquinas said.
And you almost have to be like a little child to believe in angels. And Judith, we always have music on the show.
I feel a song coming on,
yeah,
Judith.
Katarina Ray has a lovely little song called Only the Children. Maybe we can just play that.
Absolutely,
because we want to get childlike and talk more about angels and healing. And I'd like to get into fishnet.
Okay. Yes.
Great answer, Judith, by the way.
One day the little ones were brought unto Jesus so he could touch them and pray. The disciples said, no, little children can't go and worry the master today. But Jesus said, wait, don't send them away. Brothers, don't you understand? You must humble yourselves and believe like a child to enter my Father's land. For only the children inherit the kingdom. Only the children will be saved. Jesus said, such is my Father's kingdom, and only the children know the way. Then Jesus held them, oh, how he loved them, and their trusting eyes showed no fear. Soon that day will come when the trumpet will sound, but only his children will hear. Children inherit the kingdom. Only the children will be saved. Jesus said, such is my Father's kingdom, and only the children know the way. For only the children inherit the kingdom. Only the children will be saved. Jesus said, such is my Father's kingdom, and only the children know the way.
And it's so simple. Just be like, be childlike, not childish, but be childlike.
Yeah, let me tell you.
Go ahead.
This song is amazing. By the way, Judith, you can't see probably, but John and I were dancing while the song was being played.
The only problem is he always wants to leave.
That's delightful.
This song is an amazing choice.
It's a beautiful song.
I'll tell you why when we do the saint.
Okay.
Okay? But it's amazing.
Why don't you do your saint now?
Okay.
We also do saints of the day. Judith, would you mind listening for what our saint will be today?
I would love that.
Well, the saint today, believe it or not, is a child. It's Saint Stanislaus Kostka. And Stanislaus Kostka was his feast day is November the 13th.
Okay.
And so he was a young child, and his family used to laugh at him because he was so religious. If anyone said anything in the slightest bit rude, they all immediately said, "Oh, don't say that in front of Stanislaus. He'll probably faint." Mm. It has been said that the young boy blushed very easily. He was embarrassed by rude words or rude stories, and he spent a great deal of time in prayer. So he was very, very religious. His father, John Koska, was both a nobleman and a senator in Poland. When his mother, Margaret, was the sister of a duke, she often said, "Boy, my son, Stanislaus, I don't know what's going to become of him. He's so, so, so religious, and he's so, so, so right that you can't do one wrong thing in front of him." He was the second of a child. His older brother, Paul, was rather nasty. As a matter of fact, he was a bully. So that brought to mind a making of a good movie. What do you think? The Saint and the Bully.
Mm. What role do you want?
The two boys were taught at home by a tutor who was strict but not always fair. For example, he often laughed when Paul would make fun of Stanislaus, and he would always take the side of the older brother. When Stanislaus was 13, the two brothers were sent to Vienna in Australia to attend a new Jesuit school. The tutor went along to look after them both. Stanislaus soon became popular with the other students because he was always cheerful, and he was soon noticed by the priest who taught the school because he was careful to say his prayers and he was so well behaved. But Stanislaus's goodness only made Paul want to tease him more and more.
Boo.
The Koska family were like most Polish people, Roman Catholics. So to most Australians, but in Vienna, there were also many followers of Martin Luther, Protestants known as Lutherans. The story of Stanislaus is also a story about the sad division that were growing between the Protestants and the Catholics. Paul thought of a joke to play on Stanislaus to tease him for being so religious. With the help of their tutor, he arranged for Stanislaus to live in a house of a Lutheran family. After a while, Stanislaus became ill. His Lutheran landlord wouldn't let a Catholic priest enter the house to give Stanislaus Holy Communion. But then, something strange seemed to happen. The angels appeared in his room to bring him the bread and wine of Holy Communion.
Well, there they are. Mm.
And so there they are, the angels for the children that you chose to play the song. And you had no idea I was going to pick Stanislaus.
No,
did
I
you?
Didn't. Stanislaus, he never tells me, Judith. He keeps everything a secret.
Stanislaus's holy way of behaving continued to annoy Paul. He began to behave violently toward the younger brother, and Stanislaus finally lost patience. He didn't fight back, and he wouldn't give any harsh words. But one night, after he had suffered at the harsh words of his brother, he turned to Paul and said quietly, "Your rough treatment will end in my going away, never to return. And then you'll have to explain it all to our father and to our mother. What will you tell them?" Paul's reply was to swear very rudely, words that Stanislaus could barely hear, want to hear. So he had already thought of joining the Society of Jesus, to becoming a Jesuit priest. He even spoken about it to his teachers in Vienna. They discouraged him, fearing that a rich Polish nobleman would say when he heard his son was going to become a poor priest would be outrageous. Stanislaus understood this, and when he'd had enough of being bullied by Paul, he decided to go to the general of the Society of Rome. Rome was 350 miles away. Stanislaus knew he would have to travel on foot without a guide or any food or money. On that night, But he was given to him some money by some friendly people along the way. Maybe they were angels, but they helped him along. On the morning when he was going to start his journey, he left a message for Paul and his tutor to say he wouldn't be back for dinner that night. Then he set off, swam for his fine coat, taking it off, his shirt, and exchanged it for a beggar's tunic. He hoped that would stop people he might meet for asking him questions. That evening, Paul and the tutor realized Stanislas had ran away. The tutor knew John Kostka would be very angry, so they set off to follow him. Even though they hired horses in the hope of catching him, they failed to find him. The tutor admitted they had taken the wrong route. Stanislas eventually reached Rome and joined the Society of Jesus. 10 months later, he developed a high fever. He'd never been strong, and after a few days, he died peacefully and full of faith and probably surrounded by the angels.
Isn't that sweet? That's a nice story.
Thank you.
It is.
Thank you.
I didn't know about Stanislas.
I know, and
Stanislas.
When you chose that song and you played that song, you really put me...
And I was announcing, but it didn't come over the microphone. Couples Only and Skate to the Right, because it was
well,
such a nice.
The song fits Stanislas perfectly when the child of Jesus, and so I was very very impressed that you did pick that song.
Well, I,
so
of anyway, course I planned it that way.
Oh yes, and you were guided.
Hey Judith, we kind of left your Christian healing ministry to trail off into angels, but. How would people get in touch with you
Absolutely.
And Francis and all the staff that you have down in Jacksonville? How would if they wanted to be part of it? I've been on your website, and your website is interesting.
So have I, by the way, Judith.
Oh,
it's
good. Well
designed, and I did travel throughout the website.
Good.
And
we
I
just
love
redesigned
the fact that
that.
You, and you offer courses of instruction that people can take in their home or online. And,
yes.
And it's fascinating. And your stream stuff, it really is, and it's very reasonable, the cost that you would attach to it. But tell
yes,
us.
We tried that.
Just one, before you did it, I did get a thought in my mind when I was going through your website, is you don't give these courses away from your home territory, do you? Do you, like, travel to different places to give
them? Well, it's interesting you ask, because we're starting to pray about sending teams out from CHM to give. We've been asked to do that, and we've just not had the resources to do it.
Judith, I think it's a natural.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Really
we do
is.
Have people that buy the courses, the DVDs, and they facilitate them in their own churches.
Okay, could you tell the audience if they want to buy the courses?
How they get them?
How to get them?
Yeah, we have a bookstore, and it is online. If your listeners would go to Christian, it's kind of long, Christian Healing. Men, MIN, short for ministry, ChristianHealingMIN.org is our website. And they can go on there, and it's got all the ministry opportunities on the website, as you said. And we've got a bookstore, and that's you can buy our training materials through the bookstore and also the books we've written and other people's books, of course. And then we have the ministry schedule on there. Like, I'll be in New York in 2 weeks, I think. But it's
really?
I know it's not an open meeting. It's unfortunately it's a group called Christian Union that's, you know, the Ivy League schools, and they've asked me to come and speak.
Very nice. By the way,
but I do travel quite a bit and speak. I was in Connecticut recently near New York City.
Promise us when you get to New York that you'll stay in touch with us.
Oh, yes, yes.
Great. By the way,
let me give you our phone number, because some people I know may not have a computer.
Okay.
And it's 904-765-3332. And we have a wonderful receptionist called Sue that does all of our registrations, and she's just a wonderful person for resource information.
Okay. By the way, if you see at any appearances in New York an elderly gentleman trying to get in, crash, that's Palmer. Don't let him. He likes to crash all these things.
Oh, I love that spirit. Just go where God leads you. Yes.
Listen, though, I have a piece of information that may be helpful to you and your ministry. We are in touch with a group called Shalom Television and Media, Shalom Media, and they are starting an international Catholic charismatic television network that's beginning to broadcast.
They're very dynamic. They really
beginning
are.
To broadcast in January of 2014. And we'll be at a meeting with them next week. Maybe we can just bring up your name to them. Because I'm sure they're going to be looking for programming. And it's much easier for you to broadcast out of Florida than to travel all over the place.
Absolutely.
You know,
well, that would be wonderful. I would really appreciate that.
I will do that because I love your work. And I love all the things that you people have been doing all these years. And why not find a way to get this out? And these people are supported by cardinals of the church, and they're from India.
Yeah, they're from India.
They're so dynamic, really dynamic. But and they were here in our diocese in September, and they're going to be back next May. But we'd love to link you guys into them.
Well, that would be a great blessing because we've prayed about how to get this word out more. That's why we've been doing this streaming. But it would certainly be wonderful. You know, we hosted here in Jacksonville at the request of the Vatican two conferences on healing that were international.
And weren't you called over to the Vatican to talk about it as well?
Two times we've been over there.
Really?
It was a colloquium on healing and on the charismatic renewal and the gifts. And two times we've been there, and two times we've hosted conferences for the charismatic office out of the Vatican. Wow. And we just had people from all over the world. I mean, we had lots of people from all priests from all over the world and lay people. And so this would be wonderful to connect with Shalom Media. Yeah.
Sure. We'll mention it to them.
Yeah, we will. And also, you have an organization called Fishnet. And I know I know people who have been with you for years who have been part of Fishnet. Maybe you can tell our listeners just a little bit about that.
Well, you know, it's no longer called Fishnet.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it was for years.
Yeah.
about 4 years ago.
Okay.
We started Fishnet along with a couple, a doctor and his wife, who is a psychologist. We started in 1981. And we went all those years up in Vermont. We did an annual conference, and just they had Fishnet groups all over New England. And when both of those dear people passed away, we changed the name of it to Christian Healing Ministries in New England.
Okay.
And we still do a major conference every year. We had about 600 this year. And we have different speakers every year along with myself. And my husband goes when he can. So it's a wonderful group, and we have an alumni group with CHM now, people that go through our schools. So we have groups that meet all over the country through the alumni program, too. But CHM in New England is a wonderful, wonderful group.
And these are practitioners who pray for healing. They're like the Association of Christian Therapists.
It's not quite on that level, but we have clergy and doctors and therapists and lay people, but it's not as on a professional level as much as ACT. Mm-hmm. Now, my husband actually started the Association of Christian Therapists.
I know, that's why I mentioned. I was on their board years ago. It's quite a wonderful organization as well.
It is wonderful. We still work with them, and
I didn't know
throughout
was
the world.
So prominent.
Well, but I must say, I went to the conference where Francis and you were speaking through the association, and Francis did something was very unique. He just kind of had like a guttural song that he hummed or whatever as part of his healing ministry. And my wife, Roseanne, she was alive at that time, but she was at the conference. And she was struck by that.
Yes.
She went back into Ireland, into her generational roots, and it was such a powerful experience. Didn't do anything for me, but it did for her.
Isn't that? So
how
we
God?
Have had so many. It's interesting. Francis was speaking years ago. You remember the old full gospel businessman that started? It was a kind of Pentecostal, charismatic, ecumenical. It wasn't, a denominational thing. And the Lord told him to sing over the group. This mm-hmm. is a group of men. And he just felt so embarrassed. He said, I've never done that, Lord. But, you know, he's just got a lot of courage and faith. And he sang in the Spirit, just the song that the Holy Spirit gave him over the group. And suddenly men were weeping all over the room.
Yeah,
just,
wow.
See,
and
you
so he's done that. He did that last week at our level four.
It's wonderful. And tell him to keep doing it because it did touch my wife.
I'll tell him.
And I'm sure others were touched at the conference, too. She was really bawling like a baby. That's the only way to say
aww.
It. So it was so lovely.
Judith, I have one more question. If that's
don't
okay.
believe him. Please. Don't believe him.
Judith, it, you know, I always wonder why everyone that you pray over, not everyone is healed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I often wondered, what's the answer when you pray over someone and they're really not healed? It wasn't God's choice to do that. Is there any answer that could be given for it, except that maybe we don't know the benefits involved in that suffering or that situation that's coming on and the fruits of that suffering? I just wondering what answer you may be able to give.
Well, you know, that's such a common, I mean, we are asked that question so frequently. And, one of the teachings, of course, by the church, and my husband has said this, I've heard him say it all these years, and he writes in his book Healing about it, that healing is a mystery. You know, that we will never understand everything about healing. But this is one of the reasons that we have four levels of schools, because we have found that there's many reasons people aren't healed. You know, aside from, say, God's direction or will, there's many reasons in our humanity that people aren't healed. And some of it is unforgiveness. You know, some of it is the person praying doesn't know how to pray for this individual in this specific incident. Like in his book, Power to Heal, the second book he wrote that's so wonderful, he put in there 12 reasons people aren't healed. And he said he had to stop himself at 12 because there's so many things we've learned. Like unforgiveness is a huge block. If we're not willing to forgive, it's we rarely see healing in people that don't show mercy and forgiveness. So there's all kinds of reasons that people aren't healed. It can be a curse on a family. It can be a demonic presence. There's all kinds of reasons. And this is where we go back to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the word of knowledge and discernment. You know, like you mentioned earlier, that you had that word of knowledge about someone going to commit suicide.
Right.
You know, the Holy Spirit gives us words for people that can really break through either the hardness of their heart or the generational bondage or the demonic bondage. So you have a word, and then you have discernment. And then having the wisdom to know how to progress in that healing prayer is very important. And it's all from the Holy Spirit.
You know, Judith, thank you for that answer. I almost think of prayers for healing almost like reading readiness. It's mm-hmm. God gets you ready for the big shot later, but you take the little steps along the way.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's just something that it's a process that takes time. While we have you here, Judith, and mm-hmm. we've imposed on you for almost a whole hour,
you're
would
wonderful.
Love to get into prayers for healing. And Trevor, we're just going to put a little background from
And we have a whole bag full of petitions, by the way, Judith, that we
receive. Oh, good.
And so maybe we can pray for
And we'll just
petitions.
Put ourselves, listeners, put yourselves in the presence of God.
Yes.
Just be still. Don't tell him what you need to be healed. He already knows that. Just quiet your mind and then see what may happen as we open up the power of the healing spirit coming over our airwaves to you. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you. And if you have anything you are led to say, Judith, Tony, or myself, Lord, get us out of the way and lead us your way. praise you, Lord. Thank you.
Well, Jesus, I know that you've read every petition that's been sent in to these wonderful sons, these wonderful men of God, Lord,
crazy,
that believe so
men.
Much in prayer. So, Lord, we just pray now that every petition will be covered by your love and your healing anointing. We pray, Jesus, just as you walked on this earth and healed people that had broken bodies and broken minds and spirits, that you send right now your healing anointing on each one, Lord, that's listening, that needs your healing love, your presence, your mighty angels with them today. And I pray, Lord, in your name and by your authority, that healing will come upon each one now. That whatever their suffering, Lord, whatever their fears are, whatever their problems are, Lord, you know, financial, whatever it is, Jesus, that you will be there, that you meet our needs, that you're a loving Father, Abba, and that you'll just embrace each one now and let them know you're there and with them in their struggles, and that you'll bring healing and wholeness to them. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And I hear the words, I am Jesus the Messiah, and
yes.
I am here with you right now on this silly old radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sending out the power of the love of my Father,
yes,
and the love of my Sacred Heart in unity with the love of the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Yes.
Through the power of the Spirit, I place our healing love within you.
Yes.
And I touch your depression, and I lift it even if just for a moment.
Yes.
And I wipe the tears from your heart as only our love can do. And I do fill you with a sense of a need to forgive your parents, your husband, your wife, your children, people at your workplace who have hurt you. It won't happen in one fell swoop, but it'll happen in little tiny steps. And each time I help you forgive, I give you an inner sense and an experience of freedom from the oppression of the pain and the lack of forgiveness that you carried. I bless you now. I make you my friends. And I teach you that I am a God of impossibilities.
Thank you.
And I can and will take care of your impossibility of the moment.
Yes.
And I will set you free.
Thank you.
Amen.
And Jesus, we thank you for Judith. We thank you for Francis. We thank you for their ministry. We thank you for our small ministry of the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank you for the listeners that you're sending our way and for answering the petitions. And we ask that you stay by all our sides. You help us. You guide us. You hold our hand. And you let us know that you are truly our best friend. Because you as our best friend, we're able to face all that is dawned upon us. So we thank you, Jesus, and we give you praise and glory.
And we thank you, Judith, for spending this hour with us. And I can't go
thank
away
you.
Without a
Judith,
song.
You were wonderful,
yes,
Judith.
Yes, you were.
Thank you so much.
You. Please
we
be our friend,
you.
Judith.
And
God
I'd
bless.
Like to finish with the song, Who Ever Thought That a Little Child Would Change the World.
I
Trevor,
love it.
Would you put that on?
God bless you, Judith.
God bless you.
Thank you. Stay in touch.
You were totally wonderful. We love you.
Well, we love you. God bless
Thank
you.
You.
This is also Katarina Ray.
Wow. Don't dance on the table.
I'll try not to. Judith, you can dance because nobody can see you down there.
We love you, Judith. Thank
right
you.
Now.
Who would have thought that long ago, so very far away, a little child would be born and in a manger lay? And who would have thought this little child was born the King of Kings, the Son of Justice? just a carpenter, but for whom the angels sing. And who would have thought that as he grew and with other children played, this child with whom they laughed and sang would die for them someday. And who would have thought this little child could make the blind man see, feed the hungry, make rich the poor, and set the sinner free? Oh, who would have thought this little child was who the prophet said, oh, take away the sins of men. This world remains the same. Empires have been built and fallen. Only time has made a change. Nation against nation, brother against brother. Men so filled with hatred, killing one another. And over half the world is starving, while our banner decency is torn, debating over disarmament, killing children before they're born, and fools who march to win the right to justify their sin. Every nation that has fallen from within. Yet in the midst of this darkness, there is a
little child. He is the king. Oh,
from the heart of the nautical mile.